We'll start in Revelation 3. You can also turn to Judges chapter 18. All right, Revelation 3, let's begin there. This is the Lord's accusation towards the Laodiceans. Notice, so then, verse 16, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Look in Judges 18. Judges 18. And it seems like a really, really unrelated thing. Judges 18, verse 7, this is where the Danites go up and lay waste to the Zidonians. I just want you to see what it says there. Judges 18, 7. Then the five men departed and came to Laish, saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure. There was no magistrate in the land, and might put them to shame in anything. And they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man. Just take note of that for a second. Then one more, Numbers 16. Numbers chapter 16. This is the gainsaying of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And as you probably know, they did not die a normal death. Look in Numbers 16:29. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. And so it was that those men were swallowed up alive into the pit. Again, let's pray. Father, we thank you here this morning for the Bible and for what it gives us, Lord, sometimes in seems unrelated passages. I pray that you'll bless this morning if there's somebody here lost. I pray you deal with them about their need for salvation and their manifold need for Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you, we need you, and we need instruction ourselves. We Christians are in a battle and a fight, and I pray you to help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, these three passages, they really seem like really diverse, unrelated texts. I could have gone to 20 or 30 or 100 others that would pretty much show the same thing. There is a strain of something that runs through, a theme that runs through those three verses. And as far as I can tell, the Bible never really gets around to naming it. However, we've named it. And we use the term literally all the time. I caught myself this morning using it in Sunday school once or twice. And that term is normal. Normal. You see, Revelation 3, it had become the norm among the Laodiceans that they would be lukewarm. It just became the overriding quality of their Christianity. They were lukewarm. We all have a tendency to settle and sag a little bit, you know? The very warm, the hot, left to itself, cools off. The very cold warms up to room temperature, and you're kind of left with a room temperature, lukewarm type deal. A water glass, either cold or hot, a dish, cold or hot, left on a counter, will eventually cool off or warm up to room temperature without energy being put into it. Science has a name for this. It's called entropy. It is, by the way, the reason that evolution cannot be true. Everything in time runs down. Left to itself, without putting energy into it, it just runs down and becomes just blah. But that's called entropy. Tires, without being checked and without being driven and without any additional air, will eventually, if not immediately, go flat. a guitar left tuned in the corner but untouched will eventually go flat and need to be tuned again. There's all kinds of things like that. If you leave your house absolutely immaculate and leave it locked up and nobody abide in it for a couple of years, you'll come back and there'll be dust and stuff on everything. And by the way, beyond that, things have begun to fall apart without anybody even being there. That's called the norm. It's normal that it should happen that way. Along another line, in Judges 18, those Danites went up to the Laishans and said that they dwelt after a certain manner. That is, they dwelt carelessly, the Bible says. They dwelt quietly and secure. It was after their manner, though. It was the way they kind of came to a social equilibrium. It was the way those people were. It describes their tendencies. That's the case in any population of people anywhere. Any population of people anywhere tends towards certain things. They're inclined to certain things. In time, when 10,000 people live together somewhere, whether it be 10,000 or 10 million, eventually those folks kind of come to this social equilibrium, and there becomes a norm culturally and socially among those folks. It's called being normal. The last passage we looked at was how most men have the perfect expectation that they would die normal deaths. They get old, they get sick, they get weak. Maybe they have a work accident that's fairly normal. Maybe they have a traffic accident that's fairly normal. But God said, I will not see to it that these men, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and company, should die normally. And so they didn't die normally. The Lord upset the norm. And those men died in a unique way of the ground opening up and swallowing them down into the pit. It wasn't normal. Now, I say those things because we actually are acted upon by some pretty powerful forces. Some you're not even aware of without thinking about them. Gravity is one of those forces. You cannot deny gravity. If you cease to act against gravity, you will wind up lying flat on your back on the ground and flattening out. If you quit putting the energy to get up or sit up or whatever else, gravity eventually takes over. And unless you put energy into it, the norm becomes that you're lying flat on your back or flat on your stomach on the ground, never to move again. That's the norm. There are physical norms. You get to a certain age and certain things happen. It's natural to get sick, but it's just normal that certain things should be the case. Now, there are other powerful forces besides that, and I bring to your mind sin. The world. The world, we are told, is our enemy. And it is. You have the devil that works on you from outside. It's a powerful force. Your flesh works against you. It's a powerful force. Trials, troubles, culture, society, friends, people, traditions, sorrows. Somebody dies and you're sorrowful. But all those things work against us. And with all those things going on, there is a normalizing tendency. I'm saying that people gravitate kind of towards normal. I got this out because I wanted to show you this. If you've ever seen this before, most of you know fully well what it is. It's called a bell curve. And it goes like that. And take something like intelligence. Somebody on this end is really, really dumb. And there aren't that many of them that are really, really dumb. I don't know either. And then on this end, there are those that are really, really smart. And there aren't that many that are really, really smart. In the middle, and you have to define what norm is, how far you want to go, but there's this window in between where, for the most part, most people, by statistics, are normal. Kind of normal ranges of intelligence. It goes with body weight. It goes for blood pressure. It goes for everything in the world. There's normal. Now, I want to talk to you this morning for a little while about normal. That's the title of the message this morning, is normal. And I want to say, first of all, there is a good normal. I acknowledge that. For instance, when you think your kid might be sick and you get out the thermometer and stick it under his tongue for 3 minutes or whatever it's supposed to be, and the temperature on the thermometer then reads 98.6, at least whatever is wrong or not wrong with the child is not terribly serious as far as body temperature is concerned, because 98.6 is pretty much normal, right? So that's always comforting. That's a good thing. I'm glad for it. When your kid turns 11 or 12, girl or boy, you may notice some differences in them as opposed to when they were 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. They get cranky, they get cantankerous, and there are some things that just happen. And it's always comforting for the first-time parent to realize that at 11 or 12, boys and girls start changing. And so attitudes kind of change, and it's pretty much a normal thing. That happens in older people too, by the way. We learn that it's kind of a normal thing. It's normal, more or less, for you to lose a little hair as you grow older and maybe put on a couple of pounds. Now, it's not pleasing, but it's normal. It's kind of the way things go. These things are good, in a normal sort of way. But you become a Christian and you have trials and temptations and sorrows and troubles. And it's nice to read the verse that says, "There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man." Okay, because it shows that everybody goes through these things. It's a fairly normal thing that you go through in life. That part is normal. That's good. And I'm glad for it. If you go get a medical test and your numbers come back within a certain range of normal, well, that's good, because that's where most people dwell. That's a blessing. So there's a good normal. I want to acknowledge that. On the other hand, there's another kind of normal. We went to the verse this morning in Sunday school. It says that in Genesis 6:5 that men grew very wicked, and the every imagination of their thought was only evil continually. That became the norm basically in Noah's day. It was normal for people to be really, really wicked. That's not good. It was normal, but it's very bad. It led to God's judgment on the world at that time. Is that right? Here you have Sodom and Gomorrah. It became normal in Sodom that the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly. It was normal in Sodom for men to be that way, but that's not a good normal. Right? It became normal in time that the kings of Israel, although prohibited from doing it, should have multiple wives. Everybody did it. David even did it. Solomon did it. Hezekiah did it. Everybody had multiple wives. It became the norm. It was normal, but it wasn't good. Israel's idolatry, their backsliddenness, became expected because you saw it so much. It became the norm for Israel to be hard-hearted, stiff-necked, and so on and so forth. And by the way, there are some norms for our day. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And notice verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud," and so on. It has become the norm here in the last days that men grow worse and worse, and that things are really bad. The Bible says, as we said this morning in Sunday school, "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not." It is the norm today that spiritually men's eyes should be blinded if they're lost. Now, I say that to say there's a good kind of normal, but there's also a bad kind of normal. Before I start the sermon, I need to say this. Normal helped destroy the Zidonians. The Zidonians lived careless and secure, and because they lived that way and were not vigilant, those Danites went up and destroyed them. Normalcy, what was normal for them, destroyed them. I wanted you to see that the Lord was very displeased with the Laodiceans' normalcy. Lukewarm became the norm.
I made a rhyme.
Lukewarm became the norm for the Laodiceans. And God was displeased. So displeased is He at times by the normal that He didn't even allow the men of Israel to die normal deaths back in Numbers chapter 16. So let me talk to you, make some observations this morning about normal. Again, acknowledging that there is a good kind of normal. It's nice when you weigh yourself on the bathroom scale and you fall within the norm. That's kind of a good thing. I never saw the day, but that's kind of a good thing. So there's a norm that's good, but I just have some other things to say about normal. I want you to know that normalcy can be as much of an idol as anything there is in this life. Normalcy. You see folks all the time appeal to the norm. They look at their neighbor, they look at themselves, they look at the average person they know, and they're no worse or better than them. They're just normal. And if you're not careful, you can use that as a standard, and normal can become as much of an idol as anything in this life. It has become the norm. It is a healthy normalcy that an hour of religion on Sunday is enough. And that you can go and if you will approach that 1 hour with a reasonable amount of religious sobriety and zeal, and if you'll get your babies baptized at the right time and say the right words at the right time and genuflect at the right time and kneel and bow and pray when the guy says so, that's probably enough and that's more than fine. Just beyond that, if you're basically decent, don't murder anybody, don't commit adultery, then that's sufficient. After all, that's normal. However, if you're born again and speak of it, if you're reading your Bible regularly and speak of it, if you're fervent in prayer and have a regular prayer life, if you actually go out in public and pass out gospel tracts and try to win somebody to Jesus Christ, now, that's not normal. That is way beyond the pale of the average norm. I just want to say that you know a ton of people that think they're okay because they do what their neighbors do normally. And when compared to each other, everything seems to be about the same. I just want you to know that normalcy can be as much an idol as anything in the world. I've heard people say, I just want to be normal. And they don't mean a normal body weight either. They mean they don't want to be pressed as far as the Lord would have them go in some things. I want you to know that normalcy can be an idol. Okay? I'll remind you that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, what He did in His day was upset the norm. He did not do what those Pharisees and Sadducees expected. Upsetting the norm got Him killed. The reason Jesus Christ died, at least as far as man's viewpoint is concerned, is because He upset the norm too much. He said too much. He did too much. They didn't like it. It left Him essentially like the gopher with His head above the ground. And so they chopped it off. But He upset the norm. In Acts chapter 26, verse 18, the Apostle Paul stood up and said, my job is to go to the Gentiles to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And that got him killed. That's why Paul died, is because he was busy converting the multitudes to the Lord Jesus Christ. In time, even the early church, it became the norm. It became the norm that people would get baptized, and because they got baptized, they thought they were saved. Or because they took communion, they thought they were saved. Or because they joined Constantine's Catholic Church, they thought they were saved. It became the norm. And so it wasn't very long, and really only a couple hundred years, before it was a crime for somebody to go beyond the norm and to dispute whether baptism itself could save somebody. You could become an enemy of the state by merely believing on Jesus Christ and getting baptized again, because that's not normal. Now, you know, folks, if you look at it, and I believe this with all my heart, I believe that if you go read the Bible and then look around you at the average Christian that you know, that Christian will not resemble hardly in the least what you read about Christians in the Bible. Why is that? The reason why is because everybody's living in America today or wherever they live, they're busy looking around and they see the norm and they think that norm is normal. But that wasn't Bible normal. And I want you to know you can use that as an excuse. You think that you're doing as well as somebody else beside you. It doesn't work that way. I want you to know that normalcy can be as much an idol as anything in the world. Again, normal. By statistics, somewhere in here is normal. Most of the population dwells in normal. That's not the way it works, though. I mean, the Bible teaches us that the vast majority of the people on the face of this earth are lost and going to hell. Now, I can't give you an exact percentage, but if what the Bible says is true, and if you go look at things, it is very likely, and this is really, really conservative, at least 90% of the people on the face of this earth, take into account the population of China, take into account the population of India, take into account the population of the most populous places in this world and what they are, by mere statistics, at least 90% of the people on the face of this earth have never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're lost and dying and going to hell. The vast majority of people in this world are going to hell. They're damned. Right? Now, I'm not going to debate with you the numbers. 90%? I can easily see 95%. I think it's higher. I think 98%+ of the people on the face of this earth are lost and on their way to hell. But let's just use 90, because 9 out of 10 people is a remarkable percentage. 90% of our 6 billion or 7 billion people are dying and going to hell. So it's normal to die and go to hell. You don't want to be normal. You don't want to be normal. Normality can be an idol. I wanted to say this as well. Normal is a false standard. So often, even, you know, we run into folks all the time, and they think that we're wacky, don't they? Maybe some of your family is dreading Thanksgiving because you show up and you're wacky. You're a zealot. You're a fanatic about Jesus and the Bible and all that kind of thing. And you're not normal. Well, I just want you to know that normal is a false standard if that's what you're going to go by. I'll give you an example. I had the stroke back in 2010. And after going through all the rehab and stuff, I had to go find a doctor to monitor, you know, the thickness of my blood and stuff and all that kind of thing. Well, the doctor took my numbers, and I didn't have high blood pressure. I wasn't pre-diabetic or anything like that. And for that matter, my cholesterol really wasn't even high. Now, the numbers-wise, my cholesterol was kind of on the high side of normal. Well, the doc says, you know, I want all your numbers perfect. So basically, after going on the blood thinner and all that, he also wanted to put me on cholesterol medication, even though my cholesterol really wasn't high, even by their numbers. It was just on the high side of normal. Bottom line is, he put me on simvastatin, which is Zocor, which is a statin, which is, you know, they put a lot of folks on that for high cholesterol. So my numbers came way down and were perfect in his eyes, were more than normal. Came a point about a year or so deep that I went to see another doctor, and he asked me what I was on and stuff, and I said, well, I'm on warfarin, which is kind of unavoidable, the blood thinner, and then there's Zocor. a statin drug for cholesterol. And he said, what was your cholesterol when you had the stroke? And I told him the number, and he just smiled, and he said, this is a little skinny guy. He said, my cholesterol numbers are higher than that right now. And I said, so are you going to take, a statin drug? He says, nope. He said, I'm not. He said, I've done the research, and I don't believe in statin drugs. He said, I think that doctors wind up serving numbers. And so it was that, it looked like my first doctor was indeed, he wanted my numbers perfect, but he was shooting for the number. And after I went off Zocor, I noticed a couple of remarkable things. I noticed that there were some major changes in energy and even clarity of thought and stuff after I went off the Zocor, just after a few days. My point in saying that is that here's a doc, wants to do the best for me, and is taking the safe play, but he's serving the numbers. And he's just trying to get my numbers normal. In the meanwhile, he was making something abnormal elsewhere. Now, I'm not suggesting that you need to go off your statin drug if you're on cholesterol meds. I'm just saying things pointed out that I should give that a shot. I did, and so it is. You can wind up serving a false standard, this false standard of normal. I said this applies to weight. Folks, I never saw a weight chart that I never blew off the wall. I'm 6'2", and I weigh about 245 pounds. When I walk into a doctor's office, the weight chart says somebody that's 6'2 should weigh about 185. Well, that means that I am 60 pounds overweight or whatever. And the problem is, I wear a size 50 coat. And on a good day, I can get into a size 38 pants on a good day. That's supposed to be funny. 40 at worst. My point is, if I weighed 185 with a 50-inch chest, I am skin and bones. There is no way. If you're serving the numbers, I'm 60 pounds overweight. Now, if you think I'm that much overweight, would you just come tell me later? I'll go on a diet, okay? But I'm here to say that I don't really think so. My point is, normal can be a false standard. It's really easy to serve a false standard. I'm a good person. I've been baptized. I go to church. I'm a Catholic, therefore I'm normal. And you guys are wacko. That's a false standard. That is man's standard. Have you noticed recently what men have grown to think normal is? Men have grown to think that sodomy is normal. Since my days as a high schooler, it's become absolutely a given that nobody gets married anymore, virgins. It's normal to have had sex before your marriage. That's not normal. That's a false standard. Everybody does it. They say, no, not everybody does. I'm not going to give you the names this morning, but I know lots of folks that didn't. It's a false standard. That's man's standard. That is not God's standard. I'll give you an example. Nowadays, it's very, very regular just to have folks come down. And if you pray a prayer after me, that means that you've accepted God and accepted God's Son and you're saved. If you just pray this prayer after me. Well, I don't know. Then tell me how it fits in. He that findeth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Man, God's standard is a certain losing of your own life in Jesus Christ to even be saved. How is that the same as saying a prayer, just saying words, and it being done? It's not quite that easy, is it? That's a false standard. It's a changing standard. The normal today, just society-wise, is not the same normal as was normal when your great-grandparents were alive. It is the furthest thing from normal, some things going on today, if you take it back to your grandparents' day. The norm among Christians is not the norm 100 years ago. And by the way, the norm 100 years ago for Christians is not how the Christians lived in 34 AD. My point is, it's a changing standard. It's a false standard. It's a false comfort. If what enters your mind is, I'm okay because I'm looking around and seeing everybody living like me, it's normal, I'm normal, so that makes it okay. That is a false comfort. By our graph and by what the Bible says, I predict and prophesy that at least, 95% of the population of this earth today, at least, will die and go to hell. You don't want to be normal. To say, I'm normal, is a false comfort. It is a false standard. I want to say this too. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to know that normalcy can be as much an idol as anything in this life. I want you to know that normal is a false standard. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. I want to say that normal, by nature, is a comparison. You know? This guy over here, in intelligence, is not normal according to this population of people way up here in this bell curve. This really, really smart guy is beyond normal as compared to these guys. Okay? But that's not really how it works. I have an illustration from when I first started being a carpenter. I was hired to be a carpenter down at PBI. I'd never been a carpenter before. So I was really green, and my boss knew it, just starting out. So we were actually building a Captain D's seafood place. And so he sent me up to the top plate to measure off and mark trusses for the roof on 2-foot centers. So I hang my tape and get my pencil and my framing square, and I go out and I start laying out trusses on 2-foot centers. Well, again, I was a non-carpenter at the time, very green, and so it became more convenient after you get a certain distance from that wall where you're measuring from to just take the tape and measure 2 feet and 2 feet. In other words, 2 feet and mark it, 2 feet and mark it. So I'm moving my mark from here to here to here to here. Instead of taking it from the end wall and keeping that point the same all the way. Well, moving here to here to here to here, by the time it's all over with, you varied your measurements a little bit each time. And so by the time I got 60 feet down to the other end wall, he comes up and measures, and my marks are 3 and 4 inches off, and don't tell anybody, but that drives a sheetrock guy crazy. You see, because I wasn't keeping my mark on the original, I kept moving the standard. And in time, things weren't on 2-foot centers at all. My point is, you got to be careful what you compare yourself with. It doesn't matter what I look like next to you, or him, or her. And it doesn't matter what you look like next to me. Those comparisons don't work. Jesus Christ is the standard. The Bible is the standard. Normal by nature, by definition, is me compared to you. I'm normal, you're not. You're a normal body weight, but according to the chart, I'm 60 pounds overweight. I'm not normal as compared to you. You see what I'm saying? How we look and what we're doing and the kind of fruit we're bearing as compared to the Methodist church down the road is a false standard. We're comparing ourselves to the wrong people. Is that right? All right, I got something else to say here. Turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy 3. I know you've been there already once this morning. But I'm talking about normal. Sometimes you'll hear folks say, oh, I just want to be normal. I don't want to be wacky. I just want to be normal. Well, normal can be an idol. Normal is a false standard. Normal by nature is a comparison among folks that we're not supposed to be comparing ourselves with. I wanted you to see 2 Timothy chapter 3. And having read verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, all those things. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Turn back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And notice verse 3, talking about the day of the Lord coming, the day of Christ. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. I want you to know that we live in perilous times. I want you to know that we live in degenerate times. And I want you to know that normalcy is spiritually and morally degenerate. To be normal today, as compared to them out there, is to be worse than you were yesterday. Because normalcy is morally and spiritually degenerate. It's a downward spiral for both lost people, and by the way, the church is not better off. The church continues to down spiral as well. I'm saying that normalcy is morally and spiritually degenerate. The next time you say, I just want to go to a normal church, you're saying you want to go somewhere that doesn't measure up to the Bible, because things continue to get worse and worse. Men continue to depart from the faith. Churches continue to go downhill instead of up without the utmost effort and energy put into it. Normal is morally and spiritually downgraded. It wasn't very long ago that an illegitimate pregnancy was a humiliation. It wasn't that long ago that, even frankly, divorce was a humiliation. And I'm not saying that if you've been through a horrible time that and something had to happen that means that you live in humiliating circumstances. I'm just saying that there's a lot of difference between how folks looked at it in our grandfathers' days as opposed to how people look at it today. Sodomy used to be a disgrace. It has now become an acceptable thing. The norm has now degenerated to this point. It's on a down spiral. And that's really my point. Don't say, I want to be normal. You're not called to be normal. You're not called to be normal. Normal requires little or no effort. If I'm of average intelligence and I fit here in the norm, I don't have to do nothing. I was born normal. In Minnesota, if you were born a Lutheran or a Catholic, you can go to church, you can look around and justifiably say, this is just normal. It doesn't mean you're not going to hell. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Normal requires no effort. Normal requires no energy. You put a plate of something in the microwave or in the oven. Don't turn the microwave on or turn the oven on. Let it sit there for 4 hours. You'll open up the oven or the microwave. It'll still be room temperature. And the chances are it won't taste very good. You put no energy into it, right? Somebody buys their kid a $45,000 grand piano because they want their kid to be the next great pianist. The kid, from the first day, can sit down and plink out Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. I can do that. I'm normal. Normal people can sit down at that piano and find and plink out Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. But these parents pay for their kid to take piano lessons for 18 years. At the end of 18 years, he's put in no effort. Still, all he can do is plink out Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. He put no energy in. He put in no effort. He's still normal. But it's a waste. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll say more about this in a second. Your Savior gave it all for you. It is a disgrace for you to be satisfied with normal. You might be lost if you're satisfied entirely with normal. You will certainly not have achieved what Jesus Christ has for you if what you're striving for is normalcy. The fear of man bringeth a snare. What you're really afraid of is looking around and sticking out from the crowd and what normal people looking at you going, ew. That's what you're really afraid of. Just admit it. But normal is degenerate. Normal requires no effort or very little effort. I have one more passage for you to look at. Actually, that's a lie. Two. Hebrews chapter 13 real quick. Hebrews chapter 13. I heard somebody say recently, I just want to live a normal life. I keep going to church and I keep getting pushed and shoved and prodded. And that's not how my neighbors live and it's not how people at other churches live. I'm constantly being bugged and bothered by you guys. I just want to live a normal life. Normal can be an idol. Normal is a false standard. Normal by nature is a comparison with somebody you're not supposed to be comparing yourself to. Normal by nature, just by the way things are these days, is morally and spiritually degenerate. Normal requires almost no effort whatsoever. Look in Hebrews 13 and notice verse 20. Hebrews 13, 20. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. Are you supposed to be perfect? Yes, you are. We now live in a day, ladies and gentlemen, where churches no longer press folks to be better than they are, to be perfect. Perfect does not mean sinlessly perfect in the Bible. It means being what you're supposed to be in God's sight. God doesn't expect you to be unfailingly, unerringly perfect in every way, but He does expect your heart and mind and your achievement spiritually to be perfect and in the will of God what He intends for you to be. And so it says, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Normal is not God's calling for you. God calls you to be holy. God calls you to be perfect. God calls you to be like Jesus Christ. God calls you to think like God thinks. God calls you to the mind of Jesus Christ. You're not called to be normal. You're called to exceed far above normal. Normal today is degenerate. It always has been. You've been called to go well and way beyond normal. This was preached the other night. Look in Romans chapter 12 real quick. Romans chapter 12. This is the last place you'll have to turn. Romans 12. Once in a while I get a belly full of excuses. And like I said, I heard somebody say, I just want to live a normal life in comparison to, and the reference was to church and how, again, they're always getting preached at and prodded and poked and shoved and pulled and the Holy Spirit keeps working on them. I just want to be left alone. I just want to live a normal life. Well, the Lord didn't call you to be normal. The Lord didn't call you to live a normal life. He called you to exceed normality. Look in Romans 12:1. I know you know the verse. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed. Now I said, normal is not God's calling for you. Be not conformed to this world. It takes no effort for you to be conformed to this world. After the stroke, they sent me home with a Theraputty. It's like Play-Doh, only goopier. And it was pink. I didn't like that part, but it was pink. And the idea was you take this putty and you can squeeze it and stuff. And the harder you squeeze it, the more it kind of resists. But you can set it down on a flat surface, or for that matter, a non-flat surface. I mean, in 5 minutes, it is completely flat like a pancake. If you happen to put it on something important, I made the mistake of resting the edge of it on a book once. And pretty soon, every single page, the edge of every single page, had pink goo on it. I mean, it just conforms itself to whatever it sits on. It takes no effort to conform to this world. It takes no effort to be a Christian after the common sort at the average church up the street. They look like the world. They talk like the world. They enjoy all the things of the world. The truth is, oftentimes I can prove from Sunday school this morning, they think like the devil. It takes no effort to conform. You're not called to be normal. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation is a whole different story than conformation. Transformation takes energy. Transformation takes effort. Transformation takes a conversion to Jesus Christ. I mean, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And from that day on, you're called to put all of your guts, all of your energy, everything that you have, all your strength, everything that you have into becoming a better Christian tomorrow than you are today. It's a transformation. You're not called to be normal. Normal in Laodicea was disgusting to God. I'll spew you out of my mouth. That's what he did. It's disgusting to God. Tastes horrible. I hate lukewarm water. I either want something hot or something really cold. Put plenty of ice in. I don't care if there's only 2 ounces in a 16-ounce cup of water. I want it full of ice. I'm not saying I'm like God, but God wants it either cold or hot. He wants cold food, cold, and food that's supposed to be hot, hot. And if it's lukewarm, he spews it out of his mouth. Normal, the way things come out and balance out, normal is disgusting. Normal is not acceptable. It was disgusting to God. Normal, the normal social, cultural equilibrium of that people in Judges 18 of the Zidonians, it destroyed them. Their enemies came upon them. They lived after their manner. It had become a habit. It had become where they just, how they did things. They had become careless and unconcerned and lived at ease. And so when they came in, they just destroyed them. Normalcy destroyed them. And the Lord simply would not allow those other men to die a normal death. Because the Lord hates normalcy. Normal is not the standard. Normal is not what you're called to achieve or to strive for. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Oh, Father, I'm thankful this morning for a high calling of God, not just a mediocre one and not just a normal one. You've not called us after the manner of things as some of our jobs, I suppose, require it. Just getting by making some mundane standard of production somehow, that's not what you've called us to. You've called us to perfection. You've called us to excellence. You've called us to labor. You've called us to give everything that we've got, all our strength, all of our youth, everything that we have unto Thee. You've called for our lives, Father. I pray here this morning You might shake somebody's tree enough to realize that there's probably not been enough effort on their part. Maybe the excuse has been used that you just want to be normal. I pray, Father, you might deal with somebody's heart about that. And Father, may you give us a higher target than that. If there's somebody here lost, I pray you deal with their hearts about their need for salvation. May they be willing to come and ask questions. May they give us a chance to show them from the Scriptures how they can know some things are true. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for a second. Like I said, once in a while somebody says something that gets under my skin because I overhear it and I think, boy, that's just how everybody else is thinking. And ladies and gentlemen, normal is not the standard. Normal is not the standard. It's never been the standard. Let's take our hymn books and look this way. Number 308. Number 308. This morning. Now some folks gone. I know they're on their way back a little bit later today and tonight. I pray that you'd be with them. Lord, for those that are sick under the weather, we think about Kathy Hanks. Think about Nancy Grimmer. Think about Brother Steve's sister, Sheila. Some other folks that are under the weather. Lord, we pray you'd be with them. We love you. We need you, Father. We pray that you'll help us never to tire of your reproofs, Lord, your admonitions for us to be moved further on and further up the road, Father, to achieve a higher plane. I pray you continue to labor over us. May we respond to your proddings, Lord, faithfully. And we pray that you'd help us and strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, see y'all tonight, 5:30 for prayer meeting.